Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Gittin Daf Ayin Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the top line of Daf Ayin Aleph. Before we begin the actual Gemara, we glance at the side in the margin where we have a nosei, a topic heading, which reads, Pikeach Shenosa Isha V'Nischarish, a man of sound mind that married a woman, and then he became a deaf mute. Omar Rav Kahana, Im Yochol Ledaber Mitoch Haksav, if he can express himself through writing, Koisvin V'Noisnim Get Lishto, then a divorce document could be prepared and given to his wife, and she could be thereby divorced. So that what we have is a situation where the initial marriage was a total Doraisa Torah level marriage. Right now, the man is in a state, if we'll call it ineptitude, as a cheresh. Nevertheless, Rav Kahana maintains that if he can express himself and communicate through writing, we can rely on that to have a Torah marriage disbanded. You will notice, if you skim down the Gemara, a house shape. Under the Mivneh heading on the side, we indicate these are Kushios Rav Kahana. These represent questions on Rav Kahana. So now the Gemara. Omar Rav Kahana, Omar Rav. Rav Kahana quotes Rav, saying, Cheresh Shiyochol Ledaber Mitoch Haksav, a person who is right now a Cheresh. Rashi explains, as we explained in our introduction, that he was of sound mind when he married the woman. So you have a full-fledged marriage. However, in the course of time, he lost his power of hearing. He became a cheresh. We know that without any additional knowledge, as a cheresh, he cannot divorce his wife, because the Torah-level marriage cannot be undone by someone who is currently inept. So Rav Kahana, in the name of Rav, reveals to us that if he can communicate to us through writing, and he would indicate, he would write out to us, write and give a get to my wife, and indicate to whom he's speaking, they would be able to execute his instructions. The Gemara continues. Omar Rav Yosef. My Komash Molon. What is Rav informing us of? Tanina. What he is telling us is already known information from a Tanaic source. Our Mishnah said, Nishtatek, a person who became silent. He became a mute. V'omru lo, and we asked him, Nichtev get lishtecha, should we write a get for your wife? V'yirkin b'roishai, and he nodded his head. Boitkinoi say shloshapomim, we check him out 3 times. Im omar al lav lav al hein hein. Hare elu yichtevu v'yitnu. If he indicates negative answers to questions that demand such an answer, or questions that require a positive response, he indicates with his head motion a positive response that shows us that he's of sound mind. We write the get and give it to her. So we know this information from Medaber Mitoch Haksav, from the Mishnah. The Mishnah isn't exactly a case of Medaber Mitoch Haksav, but it is an illustration of his communicating to us awareness, even though he's in a state of, we'll say, ineptitude. Omar Le Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera responds to Rav Yosef and says, your question is no question. Elaine Kwamris, you're citing a case of a mute, an individual lost his power of speech. That's the case of the Mishnah. Shiny Elaim. The case of Elaim is different than the case that Rav was addressing. Rav spoke about a cheresh. A cheresh is someone who is deaf. An Elaim is different. Desanyot, we have the following Tanaic source indicating that an Elaim is really of sound mind. Medaber veinu shomea, a person who has the power of speech but doesn't hear. Zehu cheresh. He is described as a cheresh. Shomea veinu medaber, zehu Elaim. Someone who hears but cannot speak, that's called an Elaim. Vezeh vezeh rein kepikhin l'chol deverim. Both of these are described as pikhin, of people of sound mind. L'chol deverim, for all areas of halacha. However, the din of Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana spoke about a cheresh. He is a cheresh that doesn't have the power of hearing nor the power of speech. He's what we call a deaf mute. That's a more serious situation. And yet, according to Rav Kahana, in the name of Rav, if he can communicate to us through writing, we can act upon his instructions. You notice we have a bracketed section. The note on the side where we have a starred note reads Matras Asagrayim. The purpose of the brackets is Lekarev Divrei Rabbi Zera Ze Lo Ze. We want Rabbi Zera's comment that follows the brackets to be viewed as a continuation of what Rabbi Zera said just before. B'soch Asagrayim, Gemara Dona B'biur Milim. Within the brackets, the Gemara deals with the explanation of words. So if we skip the brackets momentarily, Alma Rabbi Zera, notice we have a house marking. So Rabbi Zera, who before was in effect a defender of Rav Kahana, here Rabbi Zera takes the offensive. He questions Rav Kahana. So we'll just read a couple of words. Alma Rabbi Zera, I Kashili, Ha Kashili. If I have any difficulty within Rav Kahana in the name of Rav, the following is my kasha, is my difficulty. And the Gemara will present his question. Before we go on with that, though, let's go back over the bracketed section. Umimai de medaber veino shamea. From where do we know that someone who has the power of speech, though, lacks the power of hearing? Where hearing loss is involved, zehu cheresh. He is described by the word cheresh. Shemea veino medaber zehu ilaim. And someone who has the power of, he has the capacity of hearing, but he lost his power of speech, he is called an Elaim. Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Vani kecheresh lo eshma, uchi'ilaim lo yiftach piv. Notice, the word cheresh is associated with someone who is lo eshma, that doesn't hear. He doesn't hear, but he can speak. Elaim lo yiftach piv, he's someone who lo yiftach means he doesn't speak, but he can hear. So, that Pasuk illustrates or serves as a basis for associating cheresh with a shomea v'ena medaber and an ilaim with a medaber v'ena shomea. V'boy yaseima, kide amri inshi. Another approach to explaining the word ilaim is as people speak. In other words, the common expression is ishtakil milulei. Literally, his words are taken away. But the words ishtakil milulei in an abbreviated form, you notice you can convert that into the word ilaim. You have the word ishtakel, beginning with the word aleph, at the end of the word there's a lamed, and the beginning of the next word a mem, spelling elaim. So, ishtakel milulei, his words, his ability to speak is removed, he is called an elaim. Omar Rabbi Zera, I kashyali ha kashyali. If there's any question to be raised on Rav Kahana, the following is a question. Desanya, we have a Tanaic source. This deals with the topic of Shavuos HaEdus. Shavuos HaEdus is a situation where someone is thought to know testimony, but he denies knowing testimony. So he is sworn to substantiate his claim that he does not know testimony. If in fact it's found out that he did know testify, so he is, of course, considered lying under oath, and he is obligated to bring a sacrifice for atonement. So the source says, "Desanya im lo yagid." If the pasuk refers to someone who doesn't say testimony that he could say, so he is considered bearing a sin. Prat le'ilaim she'eno yochol lahagid. This section of law excludes a mute, an elaim. He is someone that's incapable of speaking. So what we're saying is that a violator of this law is relevant to someone that in potential could have said testimony. The mute can't say testimony. He's incapable of speaking. So even if, let's say, he knows the testimony and denies it, he's nevertheless not considered a violator of this law of Shvuos HaEdus. Well, we ask, that's Rabbi Zera asks on Rav Kahana Amar Rav, Amai, why is he excluded? Ha yochol lahagid mitoch haksav. He can tell us the testimony through writing. So that if yochol adabri mitoch haksav is considered speech, so why do we exclude the elaim, the mute? Omar le Abaye. Abaye answers, Eidus Kuamris, are you asking a question on Rav Kahana Omar Rav from the topic of testimony? Shiny Eidus, the realm of testimony is different. The Rachmona Omar mipihem, velo mipiksovam. The Torah uses the word mipihem, from their mouths. Testimony is considered testimony only if it's oral, if it's through speech, not through writing. That's a law that's unique to the realm of testimony. Rav Kahana Amar Rav was not dealing with testimony. He was dealing with verifying his sanity, his lucidity, and a person who can express his intentions through writing, is that sufficient for us to act thereupon, being that we're acting upon the instructions of a person who is of sound mind. You'll notice that we have a bracketed section. If you skip the brackets, you'll notice the house marking appears again, which is another attempt to question Rav Kahana Amar Rav. We have a starred note on the side which reads, Besocha Sograim, HaGemara Makshe Kushios Al Tirutzu Shel Abaye. Within the brackets, the Gemara is going to be challenging Abaye's answer to the question raised by Rabbi Zera from the topic of Eidus. Achrei Sograim, after the brackets, HaGemara Chizeres LaHakshois Al Rav Kahana. The Gemara resumes its questioning of Rav Kahana. That having been said, let us now go through the bracketed section. We should point out that we have a mivne, a structural note, also in the notice in the margin, a volcano shape appears, and we've written Kushos al Tirutzu shel Abaye. We'll be raising in the bracketed section questions on Abaye's answer. Now Kushos nireh, from the questions it will appear, Dein hakpoda al mipihem, that we're not really focused or mindful of the fact that the Torah uses the word mipihem, she'edus tia dafka bal peh, that testimony has to be specifically oral. Now, let's see the questions. Meisvei, kishem sheboikin oisai legitin, just like we checked out a person for his to establish his sanity level with regard to giving a get, the topic we mentioned before, someone who became a mute and he nods his head, as we saw in the Mishnah, we can act thereupon. Kach boikin oisoi lemasois umatonois uliedis uliyerushas. We likewise check him out with regard to business dealings. Again, we're dealing with a person who became a mute with regard to his maso maton, or his business dealing, sales and purchases. And we dashed underline the main word uli adios regarding testimonies and Yerusha's inheritances. Kotoni mihas adios. We see it says, however, in this source that we check someone who lost the power of speech with regard to adios, with regard to testimony, so you don't need to have actual speech for testimony. That's a question on what Abaye had answered. Omar Rav Yosef Bar Menyumi, Omar Rav Sheshes, Beedus Isha, Da'akilu Bo Rabbonon. This source is referring to a very specific area of Eidus where we have leniency. This is called Eidus Isha. This is testimony regarding the death of a woman's husband to enable her to remarry. that realm of testimony is a realm where we can, we'll say, we can afford to be lenient. But regarding other areas of testimony, we would not be so lenient as to accept, we'll say, the nodding of a head to ascertain a person's status, or to ascertain other areas of testimony. Rashi points out that Kilu Ba to be Eid Echad, Korov Veshivcha. With regard to Eid Isha, we accept the testimony of a singular witness, which is a departure from the standard rules of testimony. Likewise, the testimony of a relative or of a bondmaid is accepted within the area of Eidus Isha. But other areas of testimony, as Abaye said, we can't accept with regard to testimony some kind of written statement. The Gemara asks, "V'ha katoni Yerushos?" The source mentions the word Yerushos. You can see we dot underlined that in the source itself. And the thinking right now is that the reference to Yerushos means testimony regarding someone inheriting, having inherited property. That refers, therefore, to standard testimony. And yet, the source says that it can be established through a head nod, even without speech. That reinstates the question on Abaye. Amar Rabbi Avo, Yerushas Beno HaBechor. The term Yerushas is not a reference to testimony concerning someone's inheriting property, but rather it's a expression on the part of this mute regarding the distribution of his property amongst his children. It's a person that has a firstborn that, according to standard Torah law, without any express statement, would receive twice as much as any other given son. He wants to give equal portions to all of his children, including the firstborn, and in order to discover his desire regarding that matter, his head nod would be sufficient. The Gemara continues, Kotoni mias, but in the source it also said, Lamaso sumatonos, my lav la'almo. The person who became mute can express his desires or his information through head nods regarding business dealings. Is it not in fact regarding business dealings of others, and he is being asked questions regarding that? That's testimony. That's standard testimony. And he will tell us information through his head nods regarding other people's business dealings. No, that's not the case. Rather, l'didei. The Ritva explains that when the source made reference to masos and matonos, it's a reference to his ability to buy and sell things for his own purposes. If he has become a mute, and we ask him, "Would you like to sell your car?" and he nods his head, indicating his desire to sell the car, so we can execute the transaction based on his head nod. But that's not testimony regarding other people's business dealings. That's just to ascertain his own desires for his own purposes. So at this point then, Abaye's answer before to Rabbi Zeir's question withstands the test, and we move on with a new question on Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana mentioned that a deaf mute who can express his intentions through a written statement, we can act thereupon. Meisvei, Cheresh, Lo holchubo achar remizoisov, v'achar kfitzoisov, v'achar ksav yodoi, elo b'metaltelin avoloi begitin. The deaf mute, we will not follow his motions, his jumpings, or grimaces, or his written messages, with the exception of the realm of portables. In other words, if it's a question of transaction of a portable, belonging to this deaf mute, so then we can rely on this, we'll call low-level form of communication. But avolo legitin, and that's quite explicitly against Rav Kahana. We will not rely on ksav yado for gittin purposes, for a cheresh. The Gemara responds, Tanoihi, the din of Rav Kahana is the subject of a Tanaic controversy, so that Rav Kahana has upon whom to rely. Desanya, Amar Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, Bamed Vom Amurim, when is it such that we do not rely on a cheresh? We don't rely on the cheresh, we'll say, low level of communication, his hintings, his grimaces, his gestures. That's becheresh meikarol. That's when you're dealing with someone who was always, meikarol is from the outset, he was born a deaf mute. Avo pikeach in his cheresh, but the case that Rav Kahana dealt with, a pikeach who was of sound mind, and later became a deaf mute, who koisev vehein choismen. He can write the get, and others can sign it. That's just like Rav Kahana. The Gemara asks, v'cheresh mikaro lo, and someone who was originally a deaf mute, not so? We have a source that says, kishem shekinsa biramizo, kach motzia biramizo. Someone who was a deaf mute at the outset, just like he was able to marry her with Ramiza through gestures. He can't speak and communicate in a normal way, but he can communicate with gestures. Kach motzia Ramiza, so too he can divorce her through Ramiza. So why would Rav Shimon Gamliel say that a cheresh meikaro cannot divorce? The Gemara responds, I beishto hochinami, if we were dealing with a regular wife, then he could divorce her through gestures, indicating his desire to divorce her, just like he married her through gestures. Hocha b'may askino b'yavinto. This source in which Rav Shimon ben Gamliel appeared making a distinction is dealing with a case of a yavama. There was a marriage between a couple, a regular Torah-level marriage, and the husband died, leaving a brother who was a deaf mute. The bond that's formed, the yibum bond that's formed, is a Torah level bond. That's a full-fledged bond. However, as a deaf mute, he cannot execute the chalitza, the freeing ceremony that frees her from the bond to marry whomever she wants. He's a deaf mute. He can't get up and say, as the Pasuk says, V'yomad V'yomar lo chafatzi l'kachta, the Pasuk says that he arises, the surviving brother arises and says, I do not desire to marry her. So, therefore, the deaf mute who finds himself in the position of being a yavam, we'll say the get that he would instruct to be given would not undo the Torah level bond that exists between the widow and this surviving deaf mute brother. The Gemara continues, Yevimto Miman, when we speak about him being a surviving brother who died, he lema dinoflo le me ochiv cheresh, if his brother himself was a deaf mute, then why would you say that he cannot have the surviving brother can't release her? Kishem shekinisasa b'remizo, kach tzitziyasa b'remizo. Just like her initial entrance to marriage was through gestures, through this low level of communication. That's of course a rabbinic form of marriage, which we will allow in the case of a cheresh. So too, the yitziyah, the departure, will be through gestures. In simple terms, when the initial marriage was of, we'll call it of a weak nature, of a non-Torah level bonding, so the departure, the breaking of the bond, can also be accomplished the same way, through gestures. Ela, denofla le me ochiv pikeach. The source in which Rav Shimon Gamliel said that the the Cheresh cannot undo the bond, the Yibum bond is because the original brother was of sound mind. So he established a Torah level marriage. His death results in a Torah level Zika bond between the widow and the deaf mute brother. That's what cannot be undone. The Iboy Asema, the Oilum de Noflole Me'ochiv Cheresh. I can go back and say that in fact the original marriage between the brother who now died was, he himself was a deaf mute. Why then do we not allow the surviving Cheresh brother to release her from the bond through a gesture? Zera achiv Cheresh otu achiv pikeach. We make a rabbinic, we'll say, restriction. In this case, in anticipation of a case where the deceased brother was a pikeach. So if we're going to allow the Yavam in this case, where his brother, where the deceased was a Cheresh, to release her, we might allow a deaf-mute Yavam to release a widow when her original marriage was with a pikeach, and that cannot be done. So we will tell you that Reb Shimon Gamliel's din applies even where the deceased brother was a Cheresh, and we're talking about a Gzeira de Rabbanan. Well, if that's the case, Ihachi Ishto Nami. If deaf mute married a woman through Remiza, we should then say that he cannot divorce her through Remiza, through gestures, in anticipation of the Yavama. We should make a Gzera in the case of Ishto also. Ishto Atu Yavimto, where the Yavama had a full-fledged marriage. So the Gemara answers, Yavimto b'Yavimto michlifa. Two cases of Yavama could be confused. Therefore, we'll make a Gzera concerning Ochiv Cheresh Otu, the case of Ochiv Pikeach. However, Ishto b'Yavimto lo michlifa. People will not confuse the case of a deaf mute who releases his wife, his own wife, through Remiza, with the case of the deaf mute being confronted with a Yavama that fell to Yibum through Ochiv Pikeach. The Gemara asks, Umigas Rinon Cheresh Otu Pikeach? Do we in fact make such a Xera where the original brother's marriage, we said before, was a Cheresh marriage, and yet we don't allow the surviving Cheresh to release her because, or in anticipation of a case where the original brother marriage was a Torah level marriage. So do we make such a Gzera? We continue at the top of Amid Beis. The Ha'atnan, we have a Tanaic source containing a number of cases involving Cheshim. And it says, Shnei Achim Cheshin Nisuin. And now we've dashed underline this, because this is the case we're dealing with right now. The original brother was a Cheresh, and the surviving brother is a Cheresh. According to what we've said up till now, the surviving brother Cheresh won't be able to release the Yavama through Remiza. But is that really so? So if you have two brothers that are Cheshin, Nisuin, Shtei Achoyos, Pikos, O Shtei Achoyos Cherishos. They're married to two sisters. The sisters are of sound mind, or two sisters that are deaf mutes, O Shtei Achoyos Achas Pikos Achas Cherishos. One of the sisters is of sound mind, the other one is a deaf mute. V'chein, Shtei Achoyos Cherishos Nesuos. Similarly, a case of two sisters that are deaf mutes that are married to, L'Shnei Achim Pikhin, to brothers of sound mind, Olishnei Achim Chershin, Olishnei Achim Echot Pikech Vechot Cheresh, Hare Elu Pturos Min Achalitza Umin Hayibum. In all of these cases, there is exemption from the need for Chalitza and the need for Yibum. The reason for that is, in all of these cases, you are dealing with the realm of Erva, of forbidden relatives. V'im Hoyu Nachrios, and this is what is of importance to us. If the women were not related to one another, so you have two brothers that were married to two wives, they're not related to one another, and one of them dies without any children. Yikonsu, the surviving brother, who's a cheresh as well, like his deceased brother, will marry the widow. And here you see the main point. If afterwards he wants to release her, he can do so. We look at Rashi together. If after he marries her, he wants to divorce her, he can do so. The divorce document of the deaf mute, umifka zikas kidush cheresh, and undoes the bond that had existed because of his brother, who happened to have been a deaf mute as well. Alma, we see from this, hecho denofale me'ochiv cheresh, where the brother that died was a cheresh, mapik, the surviving cheresh brother can send her away, we'll say get rid of her. V'lo gazrinan otu alchiv pikeach, we don't make a gezerah, impose a rabbinic restriction in anticipation of the case where the deceased brother happened to have been a pikeach. So that what we had noted at the bottom of Omid Aleph, the E. Boyas Amo answer, that was the second answer, which you saw four lines from the bottom, Ela Machvarto Kidishonin Meikora. Rather, it's more likely the original answer that we gave, namely that the din of Reb Shimon Leo, indicating that the Cheresh Meikora cannot release the woman, it was a case of Yibum from Ochiv Pikeach, from the deceased brother who had been of sound mind. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Chalukin Olov Chaverov Al Reb Shimon Ben Gamliel. The other rabbis disagree with Reb Shimon Gamliel. They saying that even a case of a Pikeach Vinischaresh, that he was of sound mind and then lost his senses, even if he is able to communicate mitoch haksav, so he cannot release her. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Chalukin olav chaverov dafilu pikeach v'nischaresh eino yochol legaresh. This is contrary to Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. Even someone who was a pikeach and then lost his ability to communicate, he cannot divorce her. Filu yodea lichtov, even if he can communicate through writing, velo tema, and one should not think, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel meforish milse de Tanakama, dochi shmiel Reb Yochanan de mifle polik. One shouldn't think that Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, even though he used the expression Bamed Vomamurim, that's an expression that often is interpreted as Reb Shimon Gamliel coming to explain that which preceded him. Not so. Reb Shimon Gamliel is arguing. So that when Reb Shimon Gamliel said, Pikech v'nischaresh, hukaisiv ein chaisman, the Rabbonon disagree. We continue in the Gemara with a statement made by Abaye. It takes a few lines to develop. Omar Abaye, af ana nami tanina. We have a Tanaic source that supports this. It says, Nishtes lo yotzi. If a wife became an imbecile, she lost her mind, he cannot divorce her. Nischaresh hu oinishtate lo yotzi oilomis. If the husband became a deaf mute or an imbecile, he cannot divorce her forever. My oilomis, what does the word oilomis indicate? Lav afagav, does it not in fact suggest that even though the yochol ledaber mitoch haksav, even though he can communicate through writing, he cannot divorce her? That's contrary, or let's say divergent a divergent opinion from that of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Omar Rav Papa. Here we have a long statement by Rav Papa. E lav dashmin and Rav Yochanan, if not for Rav Yochanan saying that the colleagues of Shimon Lul disagree with him, have amino Rav Shimon Lul fushi taimo de Tanakamu Huda also. I would have thought, says Rav Papa, that Rav Shimon Lul is in fact coming to explain the Tanakama, first opinion, the previous opinion, namely that only a cheresh meikara, only someone who was born a cheresh, cannot divorce. Umay oilonis. Now, if that be the case, so then what does oilonis mean in the source that we just read? So I can explain what that means. It says afalgav dechazino le dechorif, even if we perceive him to be sharp. Chorif means a sharpness of mind. We wouldn't rely on his gestures. But if he's medaber mitoch haksav, if he can write his intentions, that we would not exclude. Inami, another approach to explaining what oilomis would mean. L'chner b'yitzchok, in accordance with Rabbi Yitzchok's teaching, the Yom Rabbi Yitzchok, Devar Torah, Shaita Mizgareshes, on a Torah level, a woman who has no mind, who's lost her mind, she's become an imbecile, she can be divorced. Midi Dehave, similar to the known rule, Apikhis Baal Korchot. Pikhis is a healthy woman of sound mind. She can be divorced against her will. We don't need her acceptance. We don't need her agreement. That's on a Torah level. So on a Torah level, likewise, if the woman is a shaita, she can be divorced. We don't need her will. We don't need her her verification. Umatam omru eino mizgareshes. Why do the rabbis say, nevertheless, that a shaita cannot be divorced? Shelo yinagu ba minag hefker. Because if a imbecilic woman is divorced, she's then she's out in the open, and people can defile her. People can have relations with her in a free-for-all fashion. And in order to avoid that, so we say, look, she cannot be released from her married state. This point, you can see in the source where it made a distinction when it said nishtes, it said lo yoytzi, but you don't see the word oilomis. That's because on a Torah level she could be divorced. In the case of a person who became a deaf mute, so he cannot divorce on a Torah level. But all of this is not to suggest that a person who was a pikeach v'nischaresh, a person who was of sound mind and then lost his ability to communicate, if he can communicate mitoch haksav, he can in fact divorce his wife, which would then show that Rav Shimon Liol is really coming to explain the Tanakama. And the Tanakama said that a cheresh cannot divorce his wife. It's only a cheresh meikora. However, we have to just reiterate that that's all what I would have thought without Rabbi Yochanan, says Rav Papa. But once Rabbi Yochanan tells us that the colleagues of Rav Shimon Liol disagree with him, they will hold that even someone who was a pikeach v'nis cheresh, and even if he can communicate mitoch haksav, nevertheless, he cannot divorce his wife. The Mishnah. Omru lo, nichtav get lishtacha. A person who was healthy or on his deathbed, but was of sound mind, he was asked, would you like us to write a get for your wife that she should not become a widow and hence become a yavama? V'omar lohen ksovu, and he said to them right up the get. Omru l'sofer v'kosav u'li'edim v'chosmu, and then they went and told the scribe right again, and they told witnesses, sign it. Afalpi shekosvu v'chosmu v'nosnu lo v'chosar v'nosnu lo aria get botel. Even though they wrote it up, had it signed, and gave it to the husband, and he then gave it to her, to his wife, the get is void. Ad shiyim alasofer, until the husband himself tells the scribe, ksov, you write it, uliedim, and he tells the witnesses, chasomo, you sign it. The Gemara. We have a little starred note, he'ora. It says on, we've written in the margin, she'ilus mafteach lehemshecha Gemara, the key question for appreciating the continuation of the Gemara, ha'im get posel, is the reason for the get being declared void, the lo amar tnu, below kisvu, because the husband did not say tenu, he didn't say give it, or delo omar imru, the husband in the case featured in the Mishnah did not tell the people imru, you go and say to the sofer, and you go and say to a request of the witnesses. The expression in the Mishnah simply was the husband speaking to people saying, ksovu, you write it up. So what is the reason for the dismissal of the get in the case of the Mishnah? The Gemara. Taima, if the Gemara wants to assume, delo amar tenu, the reason for the get being botel is because he didn't use the word tenu. And Rashi adds, he didn't say tenu alone, without the word kisvu. Once he uses the word, once he said kisvu, that shows us that the husband is mindful, concerned that these people that he's speaking to write up the get and not go tell others. Because by them going and telling others, that's embarrassing to the husband, revealing to the public that this husband doesn't know how to write up a get. Time, let's read the Gemara again. Taima delo amar tenu. Ha amar tenu. Had the husband in the Mishnah said tenu get lishti without the word kisvu, noisnin, then what we saw in the Mishnah would have been a good get. Money, the Mishnah is in accordance with whom? Rabbi Meir. Our Mishnah then would be in accordance with Rabbi Meir's opinion. Yomar mili mimsaram l'shaliach. That words or instructions are given to agency. What do we mean by that? You have in our Mishnah a man speaking to, let's say, to two people. Specifically speaking, he's addressing them. He's giving them instructions. He's telling them, give a get to my wife. What did these people receive? They didn't receive any tangible document, any corporeal mass. They received oral instructions. And we're inferring from the Mishnah that those people could take the instructions they received and pass them on to someone else and say, in turn to someone else, you guys, you write up the get, speak to a scribe, you write up the get and speak to some others that they should sign it. So that's called mili, words, or verbal instructions, mimso shliach, are given over for agency. They can be transferred to someone else. That concept of mili, mimso shliach, would conform to Rebbe Meir. There are other opinions, though, on that topic. Amos Seifa. Continue reading the Seifa, the continuation. And in the continuation of the Mishnah, it said that the get is no good ad sheyoymar la sofer ksav uleidim hasaymu, until the husband says directly to the sofer, you write it up, and to the witnesses that are to sign, you sign. Without that, without the husband's direct communication, it wouldn't be good. Well, I saw in the Rabbi Yossi, that works out according to Rabbi Yossi, the Amar Mili Lomim Sram Lashliach, that verbal instructions are not given to transfer to agency. Reisha Rabbi Meir Vasefa Rabbi Yossi, should we therefore conclude that the Reisha is in accordance with one opinion, namely Rabbi Meir, and the Seifa in accordance with a different opinion, namely Rabbi Yossi? Well, the Gemara, in response to this, you'll see there's a series of answers. How to set up the Mishnah. The triangle is featured under the Mivneh heading on the side. Deos al eich la'amid Mishnah sein ureisha v'zeif. How should we set up our Mishnah? So, approach number one is, says, in Reisha Rabbi Meir v'zeif or Rabbi Yossi. The beginning of the Mishnah is, in fact, in accordance with Rabbi Meir, that holds mili mimsel l'shliach. And the Seifa in accordance with Rabbi Yossi, that says to the contrary. Abaye Omar, kula Rabbi Meir hi. Abaye says the entire Mishnah is in accordance with Rabbi Meir. The double underline marking is explained on the side. These are Nisyonis Lamed Shuvas Abaye. We're trying to, let's say, establish Abaye's answer through these explanations. V'hocho b'mayaskinon, the Seifa of the Mishnah, which was insistent on the husband speaking directly to the sofer, delo omar tnu. He didn't say in his initial instructions to the people he was addressing, he didn't use the word tnu. Had in his original instructions he used the word tnu, then the sofer would not have had to hear it directly from the husband. The sofer is the scribe. Ihachi. Well, if that's the explanation of the Seifa, the language should be different. Yochi ad sheyomar tnu mi boyale. The end of the Mishnah should have read that the get won't be acceptable until he uses the word tnu. Then others could then it would be okay for others to ask the original parties requested to then turn to the sofer. But the Mishnah doesn't say that. Hello, hocha b'mayaskino, delo omar lebei tlosa. The Mishnah in the Seifa is describing a case where the husband did not address a group of three. When he issued his initial instructions, he wasn't speaking to three. If we take a look at Rashi together, five lines from the bottom. V'ocha b'mayaskino delomar l'shloisha. U'b'shnayim, two people, moide Rabbi Meir, the filomar tnu, k'isvin hein atzmon delosom beizdin. If he addressed two people, even if he used the word tnu, they themselves would have to write it up. They couldn't turn to a scribe and have it written like we saw in the Reisha. Why? Because two does not constitute a court. Three, though, is a court. They have additional powers. The Gemara says, well, if that's the pshat in the Mishnah, then the Mishnah should have said that the turning of the original requested individuals to others is no good until the husband speaks to a group of three. But the Mishnah didn't say that. The Mishnah indicated that the get won't be kosher, won't be acceptable until the husband speaks directly to the scribe and not where the scribe is spoken to by others. Ela, a third approach to setting up the Mishnah, Kula, Rabbi Yossi. The entire Mishnah is in accordance with Rabbi Yossi. And once again, before we go further, let us take a look at the Rashi together. The Rashi that we're looking at is where we left off. Elokula Rabbi Yosihi v'ha denokat b'reisha ksovu. The choice of the word ksovu in the reisha lav lemedak. It's not there to infer de ilu omar tnu below kisvu Omrim lacher v'yichtavu. It's not there for us to infer that had he used the word tenu without kisvu, then they could have turned to others to have it written up. That's not so. Elohainu time of the apostle. The reason for the voidance of the get in the resha, the loomar imru. The husband, in his initial instructions, didn't use the word imru. You go and tell someone else to write it up. Fahochi daikis mina. And thusly, you make your inference from the Mishnah. Taima de loomar imru. The reason the get is pasul is botel is because the husband did not use the word imru. Ha omar lishnayim. However, had he spoken to even two people and said imru leploni v'yichtov, uleploni ploni v'achtomu, tell so and so to write it up, tell so and so and so and so to sign it. V'yomru lo sefer v'kasa lo sin edim v'chosmu shabir domi. Had they acted upon his instructions to tell the sofer to write it and to tell those others to sign it, it would have been kosher. The Modi Rabbi Yossi Baha Shari Asan Shluchim Lekach. Rabbi Yossi will admit, will concede that where they, even though Rabbi Yossi holds Mili Lo Mimsham L'Shliach, however, if the instructions were explicitly you go and tell the scribe to write it up, They would have been able to do so. Okay, we now go back to the Gemara. We saw the third triangle where the Gemara said Kula Rabbi Yossi v'hocha v'may askinon, the resha which described the get as being botel is because de lo amar imru, the husband did not tell the people he was talking to imru, you go and tell the others, the sofer, to write it up and to the other fellows to sign it. The Gemara asks, notice we have a long question, and this will take us down to the sixth line from the top of Ayin Beis Amud Aleph. Well, I hochi ad shiomar imru miboyalei. The language of the Mishnah would seem to indicate otherwise. The Seifa of the Mishnah said that the get is not good unless the husband speaks directly to the sofer. That's not so. The get would be kosher even if the husband didn't speak directly to the sofer. The get would be kosher if the husband had simply told the original parties, Imru leploni v'yachtov. Go, you guys, and tell the sofer to have it written up. And a further problem that we raise is who says, like the Gemara, and we saw together with the Rashi, that Rabbi Yossi will be moide, will concede that in the case of Omer Imru, it can be communicated to others to carry out the instructions. That even though Mili lo mimsrum l'shiach, but Omer Imru, Rabbi Yossi would concede. Is that so? V'ha'atnan, ksav soifer v'eid kosher. The Mishnah says later on that the writing of the scribe's writing of the get, and the signing of a singular witness, the get is kosher. V'yom Rabbi Yirmiyah chasam soifer shaninu. When the Mishnah says the writing of the sofer, it's a reference to the scribe having signed on as a second witness. The Yomar Rav Chisda Masnisin Moni, and Rav Chisda says that that Mishnah that says the signing of the sofer as a second witness is kosher. We continue at the top of Ayin Beis Amud Aleph. Rabbi Yossi Hi. That Mishnah is in accordance with Rabbi Yossi. Diomar mili lo mimsrim l'shliach. That oral instructions cannot be transferred through agency. We look at Rashi together at the top, Rabbi Yossi Hilkoch. As a result of the Mishnah there, as Rabbi Yirmi explained, with the sofer signing on as the second witness, and that makes it a kosher get, this is in accordance with Rabbi Yossi. Hilkoch leko lemechash lechurban. With that having been said, There's nothing to worry about. Yes, well, what could one possibly worry about in the first place? So Rashi gives you the background. The Il Rabbi Meir, according to the approach of Rabbi Meir, who holds Mili Mimsram L'Shaliach, Iko L'Mechash, there is room to worry, to concern yourself with a problematic situation. Dilma Zimnin Yomar L'Shnayim, you could have a husband telling two people, Imru L'Ploni V'Yichtov L'Ploni U'Ploni V'Echtamu, you guys go and tell so and so to write up the get, and tell two others to sign it. The Azli Hani Shluchi, and the agents that were addressed by the husband will go. The Chayshi Likisufa de Sefer, and they'll be worried about the honor. The Likisufa literally means the embarrassment of the scribe. Meaning, if the scribe doesn't sign on, that could be embarrassing to him. That. As if to say, oh, I'm not good enough to serve as a witness. So the agents could factor that in, and ask the sofer to preserve his dignity. You know what? You sign as the second witness without the husband's awareness. Now, that would not be acceptable. The husband did not, that's not what the husband asked. Avol, the Rabbi Yossi lekalamechash lochi. With Rabbi Yossi's approach to the halacha, there is no room for that doubt even arising to begin with. Why not? Sharei lo yichtov sofer get elim kein yishma mipi abal asmo. A scribe won't even begin writing a get unless he, as a scribe, hears the instructions from the husband himself. So we don't have to worry about any, I'll say, foul play. And if the scribe writes up the get and he happens to be the second witness that signed it, that's okay because he heard it. It's not a function of someone changing the will of the husband. The sofer won't operate unless he hears directly from the husband himself. So there's no issue of any violation of husband's will. And if he happens to sign on as the second witness, that's what the husband wants. That's what he wanted. So the we continue with the Gemara. Second line from the top. V'yi salka daitoch moide Rabbi Yossi b'omer imro. If you were to think that, like we saw in, let's say, in triangle number 3, that Rabbi Yossi accepts, in the case of the husband addressing the initial agents with the instruction of imru, go tell so-and-so to write up the get, etc. Well, then, nafik mino churba. Then the destruction will result. The invalid get could result. The zin and yomalu l'shnayim, the husband might have told two, imru l'sofer v'yichtov l'ploni v'ploni v'yachtamu. You guys tell the scribe to write it up and tell two others to sign. U'mishom kisufa d'sofer chayshu machtemilei. And these agents, because of the honor and dignity of the sofer, not signing on, will ask him, yeah, you know, you should sign as the second witness. U'ba'al lo'omarachi, and the Baal, the husband didn't say thusly. So it must be, then, that Rabbi Yossi does not concede in the case of Omer Imru. Ela Machvarto, rather, we have to go back to the first approach we took, Reisha Rabbi Meir, Vesefa Rabbi Yossi. The Reisha of the Mishnah is in accordance with Rabbi Meir, that holds Mili Nimstrom L'Shliach, and had the husband not used the word Kisvu, but simply said, Tenu Get Li'ishti, they would have been able to ask others to do it. And the Seifa, which says that a get is not kosher unless the instructions are heard directly from the husband, that's in accordance with Rabbi Yossi, that not only Mili Lo Mimsum Liyashiach, but Elmer Yimru is also not going to be effective. Ravashi Yomar Kula Rabbi Yossi, a fourth approach, similar to the third approach in the sense that the whole Mishnah is in accordance with Rabbi Yossi Velo Mibaya Koma, and the structure of the Mishnah is in the Lo Mibaya structure. You'll see that we have diamonds, and on the side under the Mivneh, Sidra Shalomi Baya Toch Shuvas Ravashi. You'll see a series of, we'll say, qualifications. And these are all under Ravashi's answer. What do we mean by the Mishnah being in the lo mibaya structure? Lo mibaya hecha de lo amar tenu. I don't have to tell you that the get is puzzle, where the husband didn't use the word tenu. Hello, afilo amar tenu lo. Even if the husband used the word tenu, it would still not be kosher. Now just to review, the original svara was that the Mishnah said the get was puzzle because the husband said kisvu. Kisvu indicated that he wants the specific people he's addressing to write up the get and not someone else, because by asking others that would reveal to the public that the husband is ignorant of how to write up a get, and the husband doesn't want to be viewed in the eyes of the public as such. However, if the husband didn't indicate his concern, i.e. he didn't use the word kisvu, then the thinking was that it would be okay for them to ask others. And we're telling you now, not so. Not only where the husband used the word kisvu, can they not go to tell others, even without the kisvu, even if the husband had used tenu, they cannot go and tell others. And I don't have to tell you that the get will be puzzle where he was not speaking to a group of three, to a base in Allah. Filo amar le beit losolo. But even if he were speaking to a group of three, they could not go and tell others to write up the get. Filo mi bai hecha de lo amar imru. And I don't have to tell you that the get is puzzle where the original instructions lacked the term imru. Elo afilo amar imru. Even where the husband told the initial agents, go tell others to do it, Nami Lo, it still will not be good. As we explained earlier, because of the churba that could result. Tanyo kavose de Ravashi. We have a brisa that supports Ravashi, that even where there's Omer Imru, Rav Yossi will pasel. The source says, Kosav sofer lishma, v'chosmu edim lishma. If the sofer wrote the get up with the proper mindset, with the specific couple in mind, and the witness is signed also with the specific couple in mind, afal pishi kosvu v'chosmu v'nosnu lo v'nosnu lo arei aget botel. Even if everything was done properly in that sense, that it was written up with the right intention and signed with the right intention, and then they gave the document to the husband and he gave it to his wife, the get is botel, is void. Ach ishmu koiloi shiyoma lo sofer ksov ule edim chasomu. Until the husband's own voice is heard by the scribe, you write it up, and the witnesses hear the husband saying, you sign it. The Gemara focuses on two words. In the source, we dashed underline the words. Yishmeru. The source is excluding the approach taken to Rabbi Yossi that said that Rabbi Yossi will concede in Omer Imru as being legitimate, as where the husband addressed two people with the instruction Imru, you go tell others. There are those that say Rabbi Yossi will concede that's okay, that's acceptable. This source is saying not so. Yishmu means they have to hear directly from the husband. Koloi, the source used the term Yishmu Kolo, they have to hear his voice. Lafuke midrufkano marav. This will represent an exclusion of the approach taken by Rav Kana in the name of Rav, that had said Cheresh Yochel Adaber Mitoch Haksav, that a deaf mute that can communicate through writing, that would be acceptable. This source is saying not so. If the person cannot verbally express his intentions, then the get cannot be prepared. You cannot rely on Yochel Adaber Mitoch Haksav, the ability to communicate through writing. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.